Are Michigan companies better off with or without unions? Has the recent recession hurt workers or help refit a broken labor market here in the Great Lakes State? Well, today we have a treat. We're going to be joined and find out from one of the top employment attorneys in Michigan. We're joined by attorney Martin Brook, shareholder of Ogletree Deakin, one of the largest employment firms in the country, and a graduate of University of Michigan Go Blue. He practices here in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Martin, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Martin, you know, one of the things that I know employment attorneys, especially because you guys are one of the top in the country, you deal with union avoidance. And my question is about Michigan companies, because obviously it's so ingrained in our psyche here that especially the big three, we've so for so many years, they've been dominated and in one way controlled by what the unions wanted to do. And now it seems that we're coming out perhaps of a recession. How are unions faring now? What is management doing to control unions now?
Well, my firm works frequently with both sides of this kind of issue because we represent both employers that would prefer to be union-free and employers that have existing unions. And in both situations, we're working hard to represent our clients' best interests. With regard to companies that are currently unionized, the key there often is the same situation when you're not unionized, is to maintain effective employee relations and to manage the workforce in an effective and efficient way so that companies can be profitable and stay in business.
From an employment attorney standpoint, from a management attorney standpoint, is there any type of industry that's better run when they are with unions than without?
Boy, you know, I think that each employer and each industry really needs to stand on its own with regard to its employee relations practices. In every industry I've dealt with, I have seen situations where the outcomes are good or bad, regardless, really, of the union or non-union status. So it's a combination of the employees and their perspective and how they deal with the possibility of having a union and the management and how that works. What I can say often is that employees end up having expectations that can get blown out of proportion by union organizers that tell them that they can get so much more. When the reality is that in a global economy that we're really in these days, that companies are scratching tooth and nail to be efficient and effective and to remain in business and become profitable and grow. And when companies are doing well, employees generally do well as well.
Well, and that's one of the things, and clearly a union member would always want to happen, is that if they are in the union and they are working in a company that now is doing well, does it trickle down? Is it going from management to the union workers?
Right, and that's the same question that exists with or without a union. How to maintain and retain, attract, and motivate employees to do the best they can. Now, part of that is a reflection of what some jobs are intrinsically worth. And that gets us to a little bit about Michigan's situation, that both the employee and the employer need to realize on a competitive basis what a position is generally worth. And if they're not careful, they can price themselves out of the market, starting right at the plant floor or even the office suite.
I was going to say, do you feel that is one of the major problems that happened to the big three here, that the union members just over the years just priced themselves with these huge contracts out, and it caused such a problem that, quite frankly, eventually to have had to go bankrupt?
The situation for Detroit, it really developed over a long period of time, and it wasn't just what happened here locally or with a factory situation or the contracts, but a global shift occurred, and it required a response. And the response was perhaps a little slow in coming, But once it did come, we see today that, these companies appear to be poised to become quite successful. They're making great products. They're pricing them competitively. And the employees that are there are doing great work.
We're talking here with employment attorney Martin Brook about what's going on with the unions and how it's really affecting management and also the businesses here in Michigan. But, you know, I wanted to turn to litigation, too, because I know that obviously your firm is involved with lots of litigation. Do you feel that with the recession that's going on, at least here in Michigan, that litigation against employers is increasing or decreasing? Do you guys see a change in it?
It is on the upswing. The last year has seen a lot of job transitions. And whenever someone loses a position, that's a typical time when someone might be considering bringing legal action. And so currently, the amount of litigation that's going on is on the upswing. Employment law, though, tends to have a fairly steady amount of activity, good economy or bad economy, because employers are always making employment decisions, hiring, promotions, terminations, at all times. And so employers have to be prepared in advance, because anytime you deal with one of these situations, they are expensive. They require a lot of the internal management's time to manage and deal with, which could otherwise have been used on making product or selling. And they take a long time to resolve themselves. So being proactive is really the key.
Do you subscribe to the theory that prices and consumer product prices increase because of litigation against companies and employers?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that one right away.
It's okay. Well, you don't have to. You know, I mean, the reason I ask, of course, because it happens not just with litigation against employers, but clearly, sure. You know, malpractice, they always say malpractice insurance goes up before for the doctors, that our health care coverage is increased,
right.
And our costs so much because of litigation. And I think, you know, when I just talk to people about it, and I'm an attorney, but I don't do that kind of work. When I talk to people, they always feel that litigation against companies is a reason why, you know, the companies use the excuse to raise prices. And I'm always curious about that.
You know, I haven't heard anyone directly relate their prices to, you know, litigation.
Well, good.
But, you know, it is something that is one of those risks that employers have to think about. And when you're thinking, you know, if you spend a lot of time managing your company based on risk avoidance, you may not be as effective as if you spent your time on you know, building what's unique about your brand and about the quality of your product. And that goes back to sort of management philosophy, because I would encourage companies to be, you know, aware of and be proactive about employment risks, but not to obsess about them, because they're going to, in the end, be successful or unsuccessful based upon quality of their products, the relationships they have with their employees and their customers.
Well, I agree. I think that hopefully that companies that use good firms like yours, like Ogletree, will always have good education about how their best practices should be formed, and not just obsessing about how to avoid litigation, but have good products. We've been joined here by Martin Brook, obviously one of the top employment lawyers around. He works for works Ogletree and Deakin here in Bloomfield. We hope to have you back on the show, and if there's any of a union crisis, we're going to have you right back on.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the time to be here with you today, and look forward to doing it again in the future.
Take care.